tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 239 of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. I'm Greg Cino. Tonight we have B-Dubs.
Has it really been 239 episodes?
Uh-huh.
Holy crap.
C-Color.
Hello.
And BB-Boy 20.
Hi-ho.
So let's start it off with you, BB-Boy. How's it been going?
Monster Hunter Rise.
Okay, let's... B-Dubs. Have you been playing Monster Hunter?
Yeah, damn straight I have.
Okay, cool. Let's just talk about Monster Hunter. I'm hitting a bunch of monsters in the head with a hammer. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
What are you playing, B-Dubs?
I am playing Switch Axe. I have cut a bunch of monsters into ribbons. I haven't finished the story yet.
Neither have I. In fact, I haven't even fought a monster more than once.
Really?
Yeah, it's just been, I've just been running through them all.
I'm at like, what, 4-star in single and 3 in multi?
I haven't been touching the hub quests because you can just skip them.
Really?
You can just do all the village quests and they'll give you like a quest to raise your hunter rank. And I think that just like is like, yeah, skip the hub quests.
Yeah, I was granted one too, but like it was like fighting 3 monsters and one thing. Right now I'm just not into that, so I'm just chipping away, well, doing village quests.
Yeah, I think you can just do the village quests and eventually you can just kind of be like, I'm good, I don't need to do all these earlier hub quests, so.
I'm high rank now.
Yeah.
Stone low rank.
Seacolor, what's been going on with you?
I actually don't really have anything.
I haven't seen the rampages yet. They're so fun. Sorry.
That's okay.
I don't think I'm going to enjoy the rampages at all.
It was kind of fun.
Yeah, but they're going to want you to do them all the time.
I've only had to do one so far.
Yeah, but guess what? You know all the endgame stuff that you usually grind? Rampages.
Eh, that stinks. I doubt it's going to be that bad.
Oh, it's going to be... It's probably going to be really bad. You look... Seacolor, you have nothing at all?
I mean, I can't think of anything. Like, what did I play for our show? Oh, we were playing more of the Avengers, because, you know, they brought it out for PS5, and so I've been playing the new DLC for the Avengers called Future Imperfect. And that was actually pretty good. It's still like Avengers, so it's, you know, Destiny-like gameplay. But I will say that, like, the DLC is better than the normal game because it's got story and stuff. And as far as shows is concerned, I haven't really watched anything outside of Toonami except for the finale for Dr. Stone, Season 2.
It's over already?
Yeah, it was only 11 episodes this season.
Wow.
So I guess nobody's doing much of anything then this week.
I mean, playing Monster Hunter isn't nothing.
Well, okay. News! Guess what? The final season of Attack on Titan is not actually so final.
I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
There's going to be more early next year.
So approximately like 9 months.
So, surprise!
Somebody said there was only going to be like 4 episodes. Does that sound right?
Nah.
Okay.
No, it's going to be more than that. It's going to be at least 10, I think. Like, depending on where this season leaves off. Because, like, the last sort of sequence, that could probably be a movie, but I don't think it would. Like,
I don't think they're going to do a movie.
No, I don't think so either. But I'm just saying that you know, the last sequence could probably just be an episode or two, but I think everything prior to that is going to need to be like its own episode, you know, like at the current pace it's going.
So, yeah, look forward to Attack on Titan, the final season, part two, which is a hilarious name, I think. The final season, second season.
Electric Boogaloo.
And by this time next week, we should totally have part six announced.
Oh, JoJo?
Yes, because that event is totally what they're going to do at it. And if they don't, well, they should have fucking made it less obvious that they were.
Well, what day do they announce it, potentially?
April 1st.
That's going to be, yeah.
Just like how Volkswagen is totally becoming Volkswagen. They're not. It's not real.
Are you sure?
I am sure. I think. Right?
I mean, it would make perfect sense if they went, if they started to transition to full electric. Or at least electric hybrids.
The era thread says, nope, it's just April Fool's.
Oh.
Volkswagen's name change of U.S. Volkswagen operations was April Fool's marketing prank.
They're a day early.
Anyway, there's no news other than that. So shall we talk about Attack on Titan?
Yes.
We can do that.
Attack on Titan, episode 70, Deceiver. In this episode, Gabi and Falco pretend to be, like, kids escaping from an abusive home, which, yes, and they end up at the Browse farm in just the fucking divine tragedy of it all. C-Caller, what did you think of this episode?
It was good. I definitely remember what you discussed. There's a lot of, like, Gabi has drunk way too much Kool-Aid and is just, like, people are being nice to her and she can't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Gabi, would you like some extra butter? I can't believe you Eldian scum!
How dare you?
Yeah, you like, devils!
I just wanted to know if you wanted some butter.
I can't eat this devil food!
So, why are you so psycho and Falco's just like, come on, at least I have a survival instinct.
Well, no, well, I think it has to do with the fact that Gabi saw her friend die right next to her. That girl.
So did Falco.
I guess.
Falco's not a crazy person.
I think that, I don't know, it just affected her differently.
But also, Kaya, this other girl, totally knew from the start. So she's like, yeah, no shit. You are very bad at hiding this. So.
I liked the bit in this episode where they connect that the girl was the girl from the previous season.
Season two.
Or season two, I'm sorry. Season two when Sasha, like, helped.
Yes. This episode had a lot of, hey, remember this random person? They're back.
I mean, it was frustrating. I mean, it's supposed to be. It's designed to be this way. But it's frustrating hearing that girl be like, but my mom didn't kill anyone. And Gabby's like, you're all killers. You just invaded our country. And the girl's like, yeah, but my mom didn't do that. She was just living her life here. And she said it to Gabi like 10 times. And Gabi just
what?
Still
Are
cannot.
You stupid?
She just will not like, you're evil.
It's unfortunate that the horse didn't eat her.
Yeah, that was
Gabi!
That was a weird bit of like physical comedy in the middle of this like super serious episode.
Hey, it can't all be just suffering and pain the whole time. Sometimes a character has to get eaten by a horse.
I mean, that does sound a bit like suffering and pain.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a bunch of people that they saved earlier are now just total Eren cultists. Like, this girl from, like, season one? Tutsa Mikasa Kill a Titan? Question mark?
I think she was in season one. The Eric and merchants were like blocking the way because they thought like their stuff was most important and they wanted to shove it through a tunnel that clearly could not fit their giant ass cart. So renegade special titan was, yeah, it was like the one that was running up to them, all weird looking, and Mikasa like slayed it before it could reach those trapped civilians.
Yeah. And like there was the guy too who was at the end of season three,
one dude who didn't get destroyed by the Beast Titan.
Yeah. Now, was that the guy that was on the roof with everybody?
Yes.
He was?
Yep, it's that dude.
See that? But I don't know what you're talking about, Grex. The guy who was with who didn't die from the horses. What do you mean?
It's the same dude from the roof.
Okay.
Red-headed floof.
Because he brought Erwin back and was like, no, you should use the Titan formula on Erwin.
See, I think I would be enjoying this season much more. Not to say I'm not, but I would enjoy it more if I had rewatched earlier stuff.
Do you remember these construction people?
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't remember a lot of these characters. Like, I was surprised people in the thread. It's like, hey, it's What's-His-Face, and they threw out a name, and I'm like, I'm certain I've never heard that name before.
You've been reading the wiki.
When somebody was like, he was the guy on the roof, I'm like, oh, okay.
It is a dense story, so
it's these super long breaks between seasons that make it hard to remember.
What else from this episode? B-dubs.
I can't remember.
Okay, cool. Then we'll move on.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember anything else.
Well, other than that, the meme is revealed herself to be like, I guess you can say the thematic catalyst, I guess you can describe it, of this season at this point. Everyone jokes about potatoes and food and whatnot, and now her death has become, well, yeah, the central point, funny enough.
Yeah, this is a weird case of them, like, characterizing a character after their death and it mostly working. No?
Yeah. It was emotionally effective.
Anyway, do you want to talk about Food Wars?
Sure.
Food Wars, the third plate, episode 5, The Shadow Over the Dining Table. In this episode, can you pinpoint the exact moment the series starts to be bad?
Well, you say that, but I don't know why.
Well, I guess you wouldn't know necessarily that it's going to be bad. But let me tell you, yes.
As far as I know, all that's happened is a douchebag has walked into the room.
Ian Sinclair, bless his heart.
That's bad because, like, that was definitely the most memorable thing yet. I actually kind of forgot about that. It's pretty bad, actually. We're more remember what happened to Shippuden in this episode.
Well, I mean, frankly, I'm kind of interested in this. I know it's, you know, I know you're saying it's bad news to have this character arrive, but the idea that he has suddenly become the principal of the school, I think, is interesting. It's shaking things up. You know, something's happening.
So yes, Erina's dad, Goth Food Eisen, walks in and is like, check it out, I'm the principal of this school because the fucking student council could just do anything. So, bye. And he's a bad guy who thinks only like 5 people in the world should be able to eat food.
I do like the idea, though. Like, this is somebody was mentioning this in the thread, the whole like trope of like, you've got city councils, then you've got, you know, state government, then you've got federal government, and then you've got student councils. They're like at the top of the food chain, the most powerful.
Like, they're more powerful than the president.
Yeah.
They're more powerful than the Illuminati. They run the Illuminati. Yeah, that's totally a thing that could happen. And hey, do you know these nice new Elite 10 people are weird, you know, orgasmic chuckle girl and handsome white-haired dude? Yeah, they're evil now.
Well, she did orgasmic chuckle, so.
Yes, thank you to whoever took a picture of their closed captioning there, because I can't believe that. Thank you, closed captioning person.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. Somebody had to put that into, type that into the captions. They were like, no, she didn't just chuckle.
This was an orgasmic chuckle.
If there was any show that would have it, it'd be this one.
Anyway, B-dubs, that has to be the thread title for the next thread.
Orgasmic chuckle?
Yes.
I mean, I can do that right now.
No, we're going to have a new thread soon, I think, so.
All right.
I think we're doing quarterly now.
All right, we're back to, you know, the usual.
Anyway, actually, the whole plot of this whole Moon Festival arc, which is Soma trying to beat Kuga, is like, ends in a total, it's like, okay, he finally won a day on the fourth day, and then they yada yada the fifth day, and it's like, nobody wins! We. Because Soma couldn't win overall, and because Kuga lost the fourth day, he doesn't get to challenge the first seat. Womp womp.
Oh yeah, was this the episode 2 with the first seat guy?
Yes, he's the White Knight of Ingredients.
Yeah.
Or something.
White Knight of Flavor or something. And he's got, like, he's super good at what he does. He creates, like, 6-course meals all by himself. But, like, his flaw, I guess, is that he's, like, insecure?
No, his thing is that he's completely detached from the food. Is his, like, I don't want anybody to see me in this food. It's just going to be the ingredient, which is why when they eat that shrimp dish, it, like, the reaction is just, it's a shrimp on a plate. It's the perfect encapsulation of shrimp. There you go.
Yeah, I'm not quite getting it.
Someone was like, holy shit, that dude didn't even ask if the food was good once. He fucking knew.
Right, but he was doing other weird stuff though. He was like
is the lighting too bad? Is it too cold? Like, is the tablecloth wrong?
So he was like, you're just saying that was all just because that's the only thing he could comment on.
Right. He's like, oh, I know the food was fucking mind blowing. How was everything else?
Gotcha.
But yeah, the big thing in this episode is that Ian Sinclair is here to save this terrible dub all by himself, basically. Why is he so good?
I'll tell you what, he's got range.
Like, yeah. Actually laughed when he came in and was like, oh, it's Ian Sinclair again. He's in everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's in everything now. You can't escape him.
No. But he's good.
Even truck commercials.
Wait, he is?
Well, at least one during the Super Bowl, I think.
Huh.
He did great, like, body acting, you know?
Something. Oh, you mean he was in it, not as a voice?
No, just physical.
Oh, interesting.
But he had great bodily acting, I suppose, or whatever. He even got on his knees at one point, and just reminded him of, like, I Want to Die, Dandy.
Yes. I mean, remember those live-action Space Dandy commercials?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Those were great.
No, those were awesome. We're going to boobies.
This is just a car wash, Dandy.
We're going through the hole. Or however that... I gotta look that one up now.
Anyway, shall we talk about Fire Force?
Yeah.
Fire Force Season 2, Episode 18. This is two different parts. The Holy Woman's Anguish and The Man Assault.
Let's consider this two separate episodes.
Yeah, you should. Because in part one, we get Iris's a crisis of faith, and she's very adorable, and Shinra's great. And then in the second part, I've consumed only the finest porn so I can not eat shit in front of Tamaki, but it doesn't work. And they animated the fuck out of it for some reason.
Yeah, the whole episode is animated, like, really good. The beginning and the end, both.
I, again, forgot that they literally baptize guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, that seems weird, but I bet they do that in Florida every day.
I mean, it's...
I keep seeing this in the thread, where somebody keeps asking, I don't understand what the prayers do. How do the prayers fight the infernals? And it's like, no, it doesn't.
I don't think they do.
They don't. It's just like, that's what their belief is. Their belief is people are burning up alive, like, you know, human combustion. And so to, you know, it's a kind of like way of like helping their souls move on to the afterlife is all it is. So whoever's listening to this podcast, if they're listening, and who keeps saying this, it's like, it's not like there's magic.
You, one person out there listening to this podcast.
Well, I just want to make anyone who's listening understand this. Because it's not, there's no magic involved with Iris. Her only role on the team is that she has to, like, sanctify what they're doing because people are losing their lives. It's like having a priest. I'm sorry to go off rails, but I just wanted to say that, like, yes, the Tamaki stuff in the second part of this episode is bad. I will say
it almost works.
And you know why it almost works is because it's not random. So most of the time when Tamaki's clothes fall off, it's just like, it's pointless. It's like, oh, this will be funny. Ha ha, look, her clothes fell off. And it's like that. And just like, what the hell? Why did that happen? At least here, there's a reason for it to happen. Even though it's stupid, is that she's fighting this guy. And so I kind of give it a little bit of a pass here because that's the whole thing is a gag. But it's still, like, stupid that her clothes just fall off. But the first part of the episode... I mean, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I mean, it is really dumb. Her clothes keep falling off.
Yeah, there's no reason for it other than it's just pervy.
Other than he's like, haha, this is hot.
Movies.
But I really liked the first half of the episode. I thought it was really, like, nice and done. And yeah, like you said, like, Iris is adorable, and you know, you really want to root for her. And it's interesting hearing about, like, they're there, and like one of the priests just turns into an infernal.
Just explodes.
Right.
And it's like,
and it's like, what a minute, this guy...
The prayers do nothing!
Right, the freaking priest is, you know, and then there's, she's like, what are we praying for if it's going to happen to us?
Don't think about it too hard.
Yeah.
Baptize those guns.
I did like, though, that one guy, who was that guy who talked to Shinra?
Kareem.
Okay, who is he?
He's the guy, he lost an arm.
Like, what company is he in with?
He's first company. He was, like, one of the three dudes back in, like, the very first arc with Rekka, where it's like, who is the traitor here?
Okay. I did like his bit where he's like, well, I don't pray to the evangelist, I pray to the son, to Saul. And those were the wise words that Shinra gave to Iris and made her feel better. And anyway, I liked all of that. And again, I can't stress enough, I thought this the recent arc, the animation quality was down. Like, it was kind of like, eh.
Yeah, they knew, I think they saw the ending of that arc and were like, we don't need to try on this one.
Right.
We'll just phone it in.
Exactly. And this episode, I'm like, wow, this is some of the animation in this episode is some of the best of this season. It just looked really good. Like, the colors were really popping, and the camera, the way the camera moved in the shots and the angles that they used were all very interesting. It felt a little more like season one.
Yeah. Did you like the random Death Scythe cameo?
Oh, yeah. That was great.
I can't believe my daughter Baka told me to fuck off and die.
You saw the back of his head, too.
Yeah. Did that, apparently? So apparently he was Vic back in the first Soul Eater dub. So I guess he's Johnny Young Bosch now.
I had to like watch that scene again, and it didn't sound like him. But is it? Did the credits confirm it?
People just said it was Johnny Young Bosch, and I believe them.
We have no reason not to.
We can look it up, but yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's got to be a gag. There's no connection here, surely.
Surely. Oh, yeah. No chance of that, right?
No, it's impossible. Like, Soul Eater takes place in Montana.
Nevada.
Or Nevada, sorry.
Death Same City, difference. Nevada.
Same difference.
You can't make an argument that he would even be in the far future post-apocalyptic world of Fire Force.
You're bad.
Guess he'd rather take that than Excalibur.
That's true. What if Excalibur shows up at some point? Oh my god.
What if him and Arthur hit it off?
That would be bad.
Yeah, I can't believe. Then again, it's Excalibur. Why the fuck would anyone want to remember him? I mean, so I just did. Oh, Christ.
Did anybody remember who Assault was?
I don't. I thought he was new.
Who?
I think I remember him. I think in back in the very end of the first season when they were invading the underground, like there was a gag where he was like, "I'm Assault, and I'm here to defeat you." And then he was, and then like I think probably like Tamaki fell on his face, and he was immediately out. Is probably what happened.
Nope, yeah, I don't remember that.
It wasn't until like I noticed the old quick shot of his fireball. It's like, oh yeah, that character, and well, that's like it that I can remember of him.
At least I understand now why that scene is in the opening.
Oh yeah, that's right. It is in the first opening.
I'm like, there's just some guy watching porn. What's that about?
Anyway, shall we talk about Black Clover? So Black Clover, episode 143, The Tilted Scale. In this episode, it's everyone's favorite character, Domnatio Kira.
Who?
Domnatio Kira.
Who?
Domnatio Kira.
Man, who is that? I don't know who that is.
He's a dude with some scales.
Yeah, you don't know who he is either.
No, but look, he's got some scales.
It's sad. I do know who this is. He's been in. He was in last week's episode too.
Really?
Yeah, he's the guy that's. I'll say, I know you don't watch this show, B-Dub, so I'll just explain it.
Okay.
He's this guy who's like a judge or something in the magic world, and he's putting Asta, Gosha's little sister, and Nero, the girl who turned in, who was a bird once, who turned into a girl. He's putting them on trial because he thinks they're devils, and he has like scale magic. He holds the justice scales
right,
up.
Right. I remember that guy. Why is he putting Gosha's little sister on trial, not Gosha? Like Gosha should be on trial.
Because shut up.
You know I'm right.
Gosha is like an inch away from always being on trial.
He really is.
Gosha, in fact, should be on trial and in jail.
Somebody even said that in this episode, didn't they? I swore somebody was like, I'm going to send you back to prison or something like that.
Does the Clover Kingdom even have like child protection services or anything?
Apparently not.
They have orphanages. No. That's it.
They have holes. Throw the children here. We're done.
You know the worst thing about Gosha? I mean, that's not the worst thing, but another thing that's bad about Gosha, yes, is that anytime anything involves his sister and other people are in danger, he's just like, I don't give a shit about other people. I only want to save my little sister. And it's like, fuck you, dude.
Like, come on. Like, the whole point of those, like, situations is, like, the hero has to make, you know, an important choice. The people they love or, you know, the innocent bystanders, you yeah. know? And it's, like, it's supposed to be hard for the hero. And he's like, no, I'm going to just go with my sister.
Yeah. Like, Asta and Marie are in danger, and he'll be there, and he's like, I don't give a shit about Asta. I've got to save Marie. It's like,
yeah.
Asshole.
Like, it could be like, Asta's about to have his head cut off. Goja's like, eh.
Marie, don't get any of your head blood on Marie.
Yeah, that's the gag is always like, how does this affect me and my relationship to Marie? I don't, if it doesn't affect us, I don't care.
It's like, if Marie has a hangnail, he'll just completely skip an entire arc.
Yes.
I can't really remember the fact that Show even gave him an arc. Ugh.
What else happened in this episode?
Human non-magic people trying to one-up magic people, I guess. I don't know.
Well, they're not non-magic. They're just, like, weak magic. These are the same people who have pocket sand magic and other these weak are spells.
Pocket sand.
These people are the people who are like, I can move small objects slightly towards me.
There was a lot of, like, there was just a lot of talking. There was a lot of, like, I've got to explain everything we've saw in the first episode. We have to explain it again to, you know, to the scales guy.
Basically.
And more devil talk.
Devils.
10 minutes of them being like, you, what did you say his name was? Damantio or something?
You, Damnatio Kira.
Damnatio Kira. They're like, you, Damnatio Kira, you're the reason Marie is gone. You're evil.
And he's like, no.
No.
I just tuned out all those things. Like, I can't remember shit.
You know what's the worst thing, though? Is that we're not done. There's, like, another episode of this.
Yami
and what's his face ran into one of the bad guys at the cemetery. I don't know that they know, but oh boy.
Yeah, I don't even recall the cemetery.
Let's talk about something else, like Gridman.
You mean anything else?
SSSS Gridman, Episode 11, Decisive Battle. In this episode, Anti, aka Grid Knight, has to fight every single other kaiju that has ever been there all at once. Because Yuta is having a serious case of stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that Yuta is in fact just Gridman. Like, Yuta's not a real person.
Yeah. That makes his relationship kind of awkward.
It's also why he's just suddenly there. No memories at all.
Yeah. He doesn't have any memories because he is not a person or something. He's Gridman.
I mean, it makes sense when you look at it, you know, in conjunction with everything else in the series.
I guess I'm having a brain...
I'm also blank. Having a brain fart. Excuse me.
Character names are... I'm stuck with... Okay, Akane and Alexis sort of have a departure from each other where Akane's like, I'm not going to make any more. And he's like, okay, fine. I'll just use what I got. And then that's why all the kaijus attack, because he just resurrects all the old ones.
Mm-hmm. And then Gridman, hey, surprise, Gridman comes back because they fixed the TV.
Yeah.
And then they beat all the old ones, and Alexis is like, okay, hey, Akane, what do you want? How about being a kaiju? Dun, dun, dun.
I liked the previous episode more than this one. This one, it was fine, but it was sort of just, not a lot happened, and it was just sort of a lot of, like, waiting for things to happen. felt like a bridge episode, because I know obviously next episode's the final episode, and this kind of just felt like a build up to that.
Yeah, did you enjoy the part where Utsumi is just kind of like realizing that he doesn't really have a reason to exist?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Also, what is with Akane's mom? I'm suspicious. I don't remember exactly what's up with her, but like,
you mean,
she's just kind of like...
You don't mean Akane's mom, you mean the other girl.
Rika's mom.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean? Like, she's just sort of like...
She's just sort of like weirdly just, okay, I guess.
She did say something strange in this episode, didn't she? She said something like, once Gridman returned, she said something. And it was like, oh, that was weird.
Her earring is an eye?
I didn't notice that.
It's weird.
Well, she also said something like, you go, or go get him, or something like that. And it was like, okay.
I'm a little, she's like, okay, so she runs the shop where the computer that runs Gridman is. I'm like, okay, maybe she was also had something to do with this.
Oh, and then she's been faking it this whole time?
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, I wouldn't have said anything had I not saw that scene where she, in this episode, where she just sort of like, just for no reason, just sort of goes, you go get him, or something like that. I am really excited to find out what's going on tomorrow, or this Saturday.
I thought this show was just going to be kind of cool. And then it was just like, this is way more interesting than I thought it was going to be.
Well, the sequel premieres on like Friday.
Nice.
Oh.
Not really a sequel, though, I don't think. Oh.
It's in the same universe, is what I heard.
This in the same universe.
Well, it's technically, it's an Ultraman spinoff, so.
Yeah, but apparently, this is what I read, because somebody was like, what's it called, like Dyna something?
SSSS Dynazion.
Dynazion, yeah. Or I thought it was like Dynazion, but whatever. Anyway, I read the first sentence of the Wikipedia article for it, and it's like, so there was the original Gridman show, which was like in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And then this anime we're watching came out in like 2018 or something, I think.
Yeah, and, 2016.
Okay, so SSSS Gridman came out, and that was designed to be the start of a new Gridman sort of universe. And so this Dynazion is the second in a series that is supposed to be all connected in this Gridman reboot, basically.
Like a grid, I guess.
The Gridman grid.
it's the morphing grid.
Mitomorphin.
Yeah. The power coins.
Surprised they're keeping the localization moniker with the whole SSS moniker.
Yeah, and even like the logo has the same styling for the SSSS part. It looks cool. I don't know. Huh. These characters look weird in the new one.
Naruto?
Oh, God.
Naruto Shippuden in episode 334, Sibling Tag Team. In this episode, Naruto and Itachi and Sasuke, face off against Kabuto, who was like, I was just a nerd, but now I'm a jerk. And then he pukes out some snakes, because that's what all these villain types do. Apparently he's using Sage Mode. Okay.
What?
I don't even know what that is now.
Remember back in the Pain arc when Naruto had to learn Sage Mode to gather the nature energies and become, and he had like frog eyes?
Oh.
So wait, there's snake version of Sage Mode?
Sure. Why not?
Didn't really visually communicate that. Because at this point, when he did the whole, I'm a dragon thing, didn't pump out like a huge dragon spiritual looking stand like the Uchiha brothers or whatever, like, okay, we get it, but say he does some yell and I guess it visually communicates it's a yell before commercial break. I'm like, okay show. You're not really selling the second tier main villain or whatever show. It's been like a billion episodes. We're now finally moving along, I guess.
So here's a question. Where we are in the current story of Shippuden, who is the main bad guy?
Still Toby.
Toby,
who the
okay.
hell is Toby?
Right.
So they're okay. fighting Ninja Info Cards guy right now, but right. he is kind of just an underling of Toby?
He is kind of like this... They're kind of like not really... They're definitely going to try to kill each other. Their plan does not involve each other, I think.
So, yeah, Ninja Info Card guy thinks he's going to rule the world.
Sure, I guess so.
Now, Madara is definitely just an underling, because he's just been a revived dude who's fighting for Glasses guy.
Or maybe also Madara is also simultaneously the mastermind, because, hey, Itachi was able to undead himself.
Oh, yeah.
That would be too much.
Wait, what was it? So I remember. Okay, what's the guy's name again? I keep calling him Ninja Info Cards guy.
With a bingo.
Kabuto?
Book.
Kabuto. So I remember Kabuto last episode kept going on and on. It's like, the resurrection jutsu is perfect. It has no weaknesses. Well, I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's got a pretty big weakness if the people you resurrect can attack you.
Well, Itachi is Ninja Jesus.
Yeah, it seems
so.
Kind of shit. This is true. Itachi is like, you know, super OP.
Itachi just goes, nah.
I do what I want.
Oh, yeah. What was that character's name again that's been stuck and laying on the ground for like a billion episodes?
What's her face? Anko?
Yeah, they didn't even like show like a direct shot of her. Like,
Mrs.
Like,
Fishnet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that character. Like, I think she was mentioned, like, but the camera didn't even, like, showcase, like, oh, yeah, like, what are we going to do with this character? I guess visually indicating the viewer what's potential stakes is? No, like, she's still just off-center.
Why
off
is she there again?
Distance. Yeah, it's like she, like, looks visually unimportant. Like, she's, like, literally the foreground somehow.
I mean, it's just bad writing. She attacked Kabuto, I guess, and then he, like, put her down or put her out, and now the writer just doesn't know what to do with her, so she just lays there all the time.
I never remember she had some specific power that Kabuto needed to do this whole Clone Wars thing.
Oh, maybe. I don't remember that, but maybe. I will say, the question I have is, I wonder how long she's been laying there. Like, you know, eventually people need to eat and drink, you know.
Hey, this whole, all 500 of these last episodes take place over the course of a few days. Shut the fuck up.
It's been more than a day?
Probably.
I couldn't even tell you. That doesn't even take place past 12 hours.
Like, they've been on that big field fighting for what seems like a month, but I'm sure it's been like a day in the actual story.
Yeah, something like that. It's been like an evening.
Like, we've never seen the sun go down.
Well, I think we have.
The Madara fight, it's dark, but then again, like, I have no idea if it's the sun settling or that's just smoke billowing about. I couldn't tell you.
It's just smoke. Like, they've been at it for like a couple hours at this point.
No, it's definitely night.
Are we sure? Maybe. Like, they fought like all of the resurrected old Kages, right?
Right.
They fought like a billion of those white Zetsus and a few other rejects. Remember when they like resurrected the nobodies and they were fought?
Oh my god, they resurrected just literally some dudes.
Yeah. So like all of those fights have occurred potentially within the same day? That's a lot.
It is a lot.
And a meteorite struck the Earth twice? That
a
happened?
Meteorite. They fucking Robin Hood a meteorite into another meteorite.
I'm surprised Murata doesn't do nothing but that, spamming meteorites.
Well, he does in this one. He just kind of goes, what if every clone used Susanoo? Because
why not?
Oh, yeah, he's like,
because I'm using fucking developer mode.
Right. He's like, I love that. We never even talked about that last week, where he was just like, okay, you're going to fight a clone of me, and I have Susanoo on all my clones, and they're like, we can take you. And he's like, oh yeah? Well, what about 5 of me with clones for each of you? And they all have Susanoos, and it's just like the kind of bullshit a little kid pulls out on the playground.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's so true.
I could just hear him going like, nuh-uh, well, I got 5 for each of you. And they'll be like, we can take them. Oh, yeah, well, I've got 50 now. Like, what's he going to do next?
He's just going to go, okay, well, I win. And everyone dies.
And then he'll look at the camera and go, visual prowess.
I was going to fucking say that. He just goes and is like, that's the power of visual prowess. Shall we rank these episodes then?
Okay.
I think Black Clover is at the bottom again.
What? No.
That's the sad truth is we were rather engaged with our conversation with Shippuden. As terrible it was, we were engaged.
At least it was some bullshit.
Yeah, I agree. There wasn't really anything happening in Black Clover to even talk about.
And then Shippuden is next, is down at the bottom, second from the bottom, I think. And then Food Wars?
Food Wars.
Sure.
And then Fire Force.
Yeah, I guess.
Put Fire Force above Attack on Titan?
I don't know. I don't think. I guess not. I guess I can't because half of the episode was bad.
Yeah. So Fire Force, and then Attack on Titan, and then Gridman.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone stop me if you think that's terrible?
I mean, I would almost say Attack on Titan was better than Gridman this week, but I don't know. I think I cared more about watching Gridman this week than I did Attack on Titan. It's just Attack on Titan was good. It was just Gabby being annoying, kind of, for most of the episode. But I don't know if that's a knock against it or not.
Hmm.
I think I'm okay with Gridman being on top. It's like my favorite show on the block right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of fun.
It is, yeah. It definitely, like, surprised everyone just how intriguing and mysterious and potentially how good the mysteries are. Because, yeah, surprisingly intriguing for a show that technically still is trying to sell you merchandise. But
yeah, and I think, I mean, I like the characters, too. I think the characters are well-written.
Yeah, like, usually people just dismiss, like, technically or factually useless characters, but you, like, still seem interested in them anyways. I mean, they basically acknowledge that, yeah, we haven't really done anything. Why are we doing this? Which we still haven't, unless really they only exist because of Akane. Or still, maybe the final episode will reveal just what is going on.
I think that's going to happen. I think the final episode is going to be the big explanation of everything. And then, yeah, I'm looking forward to finding out. Even if it's left somewhat a mystery, I just want to see what they're going to try to explain this as. So I'm, again, like I said, I think I'm more interested in that. Like, the Attack on Titan, this season has kind of been a mixed bag for me because it's really compelling dramatically. And mm-hmm. I think I like, you know, I don't want to say I like the characters because that sounds weird. The characters are well written for the most part.
They're engaging.
Yes, good. Yeah, exactly. They're very engaging. The drama is engaging. I think what lets it down for me, though, I just feel like I'm watching a war movie now instead mm-hmm. of the more exciting Titan stuff that we used to get. Because it's just like we almost never see the Titans anymore. They're just like just people yeah. sitting in conference rooms all the time, you know?
Titans in meetings.
Yeah, like this is kind of what I was talking about when I was saying that your mileage is going to vary a bit when, you know, we get past the basement and past the thing is that the show very much, you know, well, Attack on Titan in general sort of does this genre shift from, you know, a more action-oriented thing to a more sort of political thing.
Yeah.
And, like, some characters are better at carrying that over, and, you know, some, like, they're made a bit more interesting by it, whereas others are sort of, like, they don't really fit in the new story, you know? Like, I would argue that Eren is a bit more interesting now than he was previously, you know? Like,
yes.
Like, he was, like, he was, you know, a one-note bore, you know, in... Like, he was the worst person in his own show. And now it's like he's got this flair of mystery. Like, you're like, yo, what's Eren up to? What's he doing? What's his plan?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Whereas Mikasa is, like, the exact opposite. You know, she was very much exciting and awesome and dynamic and, you know, pre-time skip. But now it's kind of like she doesn't really fit with where the show's going or what it's doing right now. You know, yeah.
Like, one of the most interesting characters to me now is Hanji, because she went from being like this crazy scientist to kind of like this tactical military leader. Right. And that's interesting. And I like that. But I mean, like, but like you're saying, I totally get what you're saying. Like, there's like this show feels different now. It doesn't feel like the same show.
Like, I would almost call it a sequel, you know. You know, it's the same characters. They've largely, like, they solved the problem they had, but now they have a new problem. You know, like, if you rebranded it as, you know, a sequel series, I think nobody would, you know, lose a step. It would be like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. You know,
like Attack on Titan, the Titan Wars or something.
Yeah, like, or you could, like, change the entire thing, name, or, you know, like, War for Paradise Island or something, you know, like. Like, it doesn't need to be, you know, like, sort of the same show. It could, like, but yeah, I just keep saying it could be a sequel series. It's just, like, it's that different. Like, the problem is that some of the characters you liked previously don't really fit in the new, like, style of show. And
yeah. It's also, like, how many more episodes do we have of this season before we, like, it stops and then there's going to be more later?
You got, like, 5.
Yeah. Really?
There's 16
okay.
episodes.
Mm-hmm. Like, so, like, there's this kind of irony, I would say, like, just to travel back a bit. I think Erwin, had he not died off, would be a much more interesting character here than, you know, what Armin is right now. Because he's not really doing anything.
Hmm.
Whereas Erwin just, he feels like he would have fit in, you know, sort of what's going on.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that Erwin had to go, but I mean, like, it was a great way to go.
it was a fantastic way to go. Like, don't get me wrong, that, you know, episode was, that entire part of the season was awesome.
Yeah.
It was just, he would fit into this sort of sequence almost like a glove, you know? Like, it just feels like this entire part was sort of written for him almost. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's like the perfect soldier kind of character.
Yeah. And like, seeing him try to navigate this would, I think, be a little bit more interesting than Armin, who, I mean, he has the Titan now, but he doesn't get to use it at all, or yet anyway, or whatever.
Well, he used it once and it was,
well, yeah, but, you know, like, it's just a lot of characters are getting sort of, you know, sat by the wayside because they don't quite fit. And those were more or less the interesting ones from the last one. And it just feels like, yeah, there's a bit of wasted potential here.
I think it's also made difficult by the fact that they introduced so many new characters in this season as well. So
there's that, too. It just sort of feels like we've gone from one show to a completely other show starring the same people.
And I mean, I want to be clear too, like, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's different and not what I expected.
Like, it's still interesting. It's just that, you know, all the characters I liked are sort of like not really doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't hate it. I just feel like the author maybe had another story he wanted to tell and tried to cram it in here.
Yeah,
you know, like it's still a very interesting story he wanted to tell, but, you know, it's obviously a different story.
Anything else about this week of Toonami?
No, other than to say that, like, we've got one more episode of Gridman and then Promised Neverland, right?
Yes. Oh, right. Promised Neverland.
Well, apparently that's going to start off pretty well.
Yeah, it does. I've seen the first few episodes, and they're good.
I mean, we know that DeMarco picks up shows based on, like, him watching the first couple episodes and being like,
well, I
this
don't
is
even
good
think
or this
he
is
was
bad.
He was going to pick it up anyway, because no matter what, the only, objective view in his mind of is the show good or not is, will people watch this?
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, we do know that, you know,
we know it's going to be so bad that at the end it's written by ghosts.
Like, that is real. Like, okay, so I actually went back and, you know, sort of, so, like, there's this history of sort of people taking their names off of credits for stuff. You know,
Alan
and, like,
Smithy.
Movies and TV stuff. Yeah, like, there's a history of that. And if you go back through, the only time you'll see that in modern times is literally for airplane cuts. You know, like when they cut a movie to show on an airplane. Because, you know, a flight across the country lasts like 2 hours tops. You know, so you really only have an hour and a half for the movie.
And you have even less because of takeoff and landing.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. You have like an hour and a half at the very outside. You know, you have maybe an hour to work with. And so most directors and writers, they like, Alan Smithy this for me. I don't want to be associated with it. It's not my thing. Like, I know I'm going to get paid for it, but I don't want my name to be on this. You know, and that's the only modern instances I could find. You know, so this has got to be bad.
Seda was talking about how his friend texts him and is like, don't watch this.
Yeah.
I'm going, like, to watch it out of curiosity.
Yeah, I mean, I got to know exactly how bad this is, because every warning sign I've ever seen is being tripped. And I'm like, I've never seen any train wreck like this. And I sat through Endless Eight, you know, like I watched all eight of those goddamn episodes waiting for the end.
I'll tell you a neat article I just pulled up that you should check out sometime. It's just Alan Smithy on Wikipedia. It has a list. It has a list of all the films directed by Alan Smithy.
Yeah, that's where I was looking. Like, if you scroll down to like the last 10, 20 years, it's largely airplane cuts.
Not Alan Smithy. Not a real person.
No. Oh, you didn't know that? Okay.
Yeah,
it's
the pseudonym they give to anybody that wants their name cut. They actually stopped using it after a while because it was a union thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat. Yeah, you're right. They must have stopped around the 90s because that's when the list ends.
There's still people that take their names off. But yeah,
like the TV edited TV
Heat.
Version of Dune from David Lynch
Heat?
Is
Rudy.
Yeah.
The TV edits.
Yeah.
Yeah. The director's like, the original director's like, don't put my name on that.
Yeah. They're like, no, this is not what I did. Like, it's super common for like airline stuff. Like, I mean, it still happens to a certain extent, you know, like even now. Like, I don't think they put Alan Smithy on. I think they just take the names off. But,
or they put a fake name. I think they usually just use a different fake name. Yeah. Like, apparently even back then, it says here for the Dune one, they used a name called Judas Booth, which is a combination of Judas Iscariot and John's Will Booth.
Yes. Basically, the guy that killed Jesus and the guy that killed Lincoln.
Yeah.
Wow. Somebody was really happy with David Lynch there.
No, that was David Lynch being really happy with the TV edit.
That's basically David Lynch saying, no, don't put my name on this TV edit. Put this one instead.
It's like to have that kind of thing happen in an anime is like, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, this is going to be wild. I am excited to see what everyone's up in arms about. Because, like I said, I only saw enough of the season that it looked good.
Like my experience with this professionally is, if this happens, it's because whoever wrote it doesn't want to be associated with, you know, what's being published, you know?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Everything I've heard makes it seem like this is something that is very much true for.
Yeah, like it's the sort of thing. It's like if it comes out, I wrote this, it might hurt my career, you know? And I'm like, They were writing credits on Tenchi Muyo GXP, you know?
Somebody was proud to direct that show.
Yeah. Like, someone was not only proud to direct it, someone was proud to write that show, you know?
Yeah.
Well, like, the animators and, you know, the voice actors, you know, like, they still put their credits on there, apparently, because, you know, they can still be like, yeah, I didn't fuck my job up. They fucked their job up. God damn.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Like how big a fucking train wreck could this be? Because we've seen some goddamn train wrecks. Like, are we going to have to list this season separately because of this?
No.
Oh, God, that's going to completely murder its place in the standings.
Hey, One Punch Man.
Yeah, it happened already once, so.
I mean, let's be real. This is probably going to be worse.
Again, I'm holding out. I want to see... I'm waiting to be convinced that it's terrible. I don't like to judge things before I've seen them. And right. I'm kind of like,
no, that's fair.
Although I will say I am expecting it because I've seen too much negativity. But yeah, it's just interesting. I mean, I'm excited to see where they go because I read the manga to the end and I know what happened. So
yeah, so just from all the negativity I've seen around about this.
No spoilers.
No, I'm not going to say anything. I just feel like if we took that season on its own, it might go all the way down to the bottom. You know, just from all the, like, not even hate, just like, this is horrible. You know?
Well, okay.
Like, I haven't seen anyone angry. I've just seen people, like, depressed that this was done.
Yeah, I was realizing that GXP was kind of a trashy show from the start, so I guess the cast and crew just whatever. Here, the problem is Neverland. It's like the hot,
he's good,
critical darling. You know, it's already got prestige going on for it to like apparently squander it.
Yeah,
it's like take it from the highest of highest, and take it to the lowest of lowest. I can see that people would. The cast and crew or whatever would just yeeted themselves out of the credits.
It's just, yeah.
Well, I think we've talked about enough about this show because I'm hungry and tired.
Yeah, like I'm really looking forward to seeing how bad this is because I have a hard time believing it's going to live up to the hype.
Yeah.
Oh, that hype.
Like, if it does... then we are going to see the biggest drop in like list history, I think.
I will say it does have a really nice ending, or I mean end ED.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's got a nice ED on this show, but that's all I can say.
I do like a good ED, you know, like
it's a good one.
Like a good ED can really sort of make an episode.
Can it wash away the like? The dirtiest of qualities, though?
I don't know about that. But, I mean, you know, like a good ED can create some good memories regardless, you know?
I mean, if somehow we get angry at this season and just, and then this nice ED plays.
Well, hey, guess what? Mother's Basement just put up a video called I Hate the Promised Neverland Season 2, and the thumbnail is just characters with the word pain over them.
What?
Everyone hates this show.
I'm not going to watch that. I'll wait until it's, like, we get to see the whole thing, but damn.
Anyway... that'll do it for this episode of the Toonami Escape Podcast. Thank you, BB Boy 20.
No problem.
Thank you, C Kohler.
No problem.
Thank you, B Dubs.
Okay.
We'll see you guys next week for episode 240. Good night. Later.